The Rancor's Brothel presents.
Into the land of civilization came Nyarlathotep, slender and sinister,
and gave exhibitions which sent his spectators away speechless.
Men advised one another to see him and shuddered.
Where he went, rest vanished, for the small hours were rent with the screams of nightmare.
It was in the hot autumn that I went through the night with the restless crowd.
I saw hooded forms amidst ruins, and I saw the world battling against blackness.
I screamed aloud.
I was not afraid.
That I could never be afraid.
And others screamed with me for solace.
Beyond the world vague ghosts of monstrous things.
Corpses of dead worlds with sores that were cities. Charnel winds that brush the pallid stars.
And through this revolting graveyard of the universe, the muffled, maddening beating.
The crawling chaos.
Masks of Nyarlathotep. Configurations in mutation.
Dirty 4 is a good die roll. You don't get to tick anything, but as those words come out of your mouth, obviously the murders in New York did seem to be based on or around the new moon. The timeline, just in general, even though you don't know it and Barrington has not provided any additional information, what you do know of the Soho murders, the Egyptian murders, does not line up with the new moon. I mean, even if you think about it, like, 19 murders in approximately 3 years. Like, it doesn't line up with some of the same consistency that Adams was able to provide. So you don't know that for sure, but it just occurs to you that it's probably unlikely. It's not impossible. Obviously, there are more than enough new moons, but just in general, it doesn't make a lot of sense at this point. It's possible, not probable, put it that way.
Well, but like also there hasn't been one for a couple of months, so
true.
They seem to have
subsided,
stopped temporarily. I don't know, but
maybe
that was our urging to come here, was to possibly provide that there may be a murder happening soon. So we don't know if there's a correlation there, but
are you aware of any? And I understand ongoing investigation and all that. Are you aware of any cults of this nature, such as the Bloody Tongue that we've experienced? Anywhere that you'd like to point me to or away from?
Make a persuasion or something.
Would you like a charm?
Some kind of a social role.
No. I would.
Charming you. No.
I would allow, if as a group you would like to pick a social role and roll it. You are saying things that make some sense, but not great sense. It's really a question of how you are persuading Jeff. So if somebody wants to make a persuade, I'd probably allow a charm, although a charm's not going to work as well.
No.
I've only crit one social roll, and I'm probably not going to get another one.
I have terrible persuade. I have 10.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yes.
I wasn't the talkie-talkie person. Lucas was supposed to be the talkie-talkie person.
Lucas was a terrible talkie-talkie person.
Just a terrible person.
Have you met Lucas?
No, Cecil was a terrible talkie-talkie person.
I will, given the flow of the conversation, unless Jeff is the person trying to be charmed or persuaded, I would assume charm with a penalty die. Does that seem fair, or is that too harsh? Charm with a penalty die. You've said some things that are good. You've also said some things that are really awkward.
It's a pass. It's a 39 and a 39. That's almost by half.
You're saying enough that Barrington is at least interested in continuing the conversation and not either locking you up or throwing you out. We'll give you that much.
It was close there for a minute.
Yeah, I know.
There were certain things you said that were almost exactly what it says in here would get you thrown out.
Cool. All right.
What about? Yeah. I think we should ask about if there are connections between all three articles.
There are similarities.
I understand with an ongoing investigation you can't reveal much to us, but if you have questions about certain aspects, please Feel free to ask.
Well, I've had most of my questions answered. Going through the Penhu Association. What is it?
Penhu Foundation.
Talking to Mr. Gavigan? Is that?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Edward Gavigan.
We have an appointment with him this afternoon. If there's anything you'd like us to not broach with him because of your investigation, please let us know.
Or if there was anything you felt like he avoided answering.
Maybe avoid talking about Jackson Elias. He didn't seem very fond of him.
Good to know. Thank you.
That's fine. I mean,
we can use Carlisle's name now.
I believe he called him a sensation-seeking profiteer. Okay.
I see. Yes, well, that would seem like someone who wouldn't. But you were friends with Elias. You were friends with Elias.
I wouldn't say friends.
But you know him by name.
Yes, he came to me and discussed similar things to what you're telling me. He's the one who got me turned on to the Penhu Foundation.
Ah, of course.
Elias talked about the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh, which was a cult. scribble.
That is something that, again, I love in playing mystery-style games, is you drop something that is salacious and interesting, and immediately all the pencils are grabbed to write it down.
First of all, I know what that means. Troy knows what that means. So that's why I'm writing it down.
Does he?
Yeah.
So, as this person who has the satchel, I'm going to discreetly pull up Africa's Dark Sex and look at the titles of the chapters, see if there's one on the Brotherhood. There's not?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so.
Well, there was one on the Bloody Tongue.
Most of Africa's Dark Sex, I'm pulling up the quote-unquote other book, as they call it.
Or at least I should say, I know who the Black Pharaoh is.
Troy is intimately acquainted. Little ride on a shantag never hurt anybody.
I mean, did it hurt? I don't think so.
Physically? I mean, probably not. There's a really small percentage of you
that
jump
was
off.
Way more of a spiritual ride.
It's very spiritual. No, there is nothing. Africa's Dark Sects is more. Has anybody here read it?
Yeah. He's the only one that's been reading it.
You have been reading it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He's been
But
making...
Lucas was the one. Cecil was the one who finished it.
Finished it while we
How
were
much
doing
have you read?
4 days.
4 weeks.
Four weeks. Four ticks.
Spoon!
Okay. Predominantly in terms of Africa's Dark Sects, it is more of a heart of Africa, continent of Africa thing, so it is more...
Less Egypt.
Congo, and, you know, it's really the heart of the continent and the jungle, as opposed to areas that you just connotate with, you know, Egypt is like part of the Mediterranean, just like Algeria is, like, it is Africa by definition, but right. It's not what the purpose of the book is.
It's more Middle East.
So are we dealing right. with another... Yeah. Cult in
That's what
London?
It sounds like
a different cult,
Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh. Yeah, Troy, what do you want to say?
Different
Troy?
Heads, same snake.
Thanks for that.
Different masks, same. Yeah,
it's almost like this is a game about masks, and we have four of them, kind of.
So, how much of this am I giving them?
Whatever you think. Inspector Barrington would be willing to divulge. They made a social roll, so they continued the conversation.
They made a social roll, and I gave them the information on Jackson.
I think that's a fair point. If they'd like to dig more, they can dig more.
Yeah,
let them
I think
earn
it's going to take more than just one roll.
This information about the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh, do you know where he came across that name or information about that?
No. But he directed me to the Penhu Association. Or Foundation. God damn it.
I think you went independently. I don't think he directed you. I could be really? Wrong. You've read it more recently than I have. I think it was more of a verification thing.
Obviously, it seems as though the meeting with the Penhu Foundation gave you some more information. Was there anything that they were able to help connect the dots with for you?
Again, I'm not sure how much of that information I can give out. Somebody's going to have to make a roll.
What about natural world? Like, is what's going on something that's obviously yes, no? Is that even a world? I don't have any social. I don't have any social skills.
I mean, you.
Hey,
you
who's got a cult?
Actually, did you guys do any kind of research other than read that snippet of an article
on the murders here? No.
We've arrived only 3 days ago.
No, I'm. Jeff is asking you that.
Yeah. No, we've been here 3 days, and all we knew was, hey, we found this in an article yesterday.
You were here when we arrived in London. Like, that's literally all we've done.
I know, but I was spacing out.
No, that's okay. You're good.
I mean, besides that single Egyptian thing, we just have the painter and the murders in Chelsea area, I think.
I have an occult, but I don't know if that would... For some sort of...
Has there been any evidence found that has been unexplainable?
Yes, that's why we haven't caught anybody.
All right, Dick.
We have to do more of this. A 100% if we do that campaign that you're talking about doing.
Yeah.
We're doing more of this.
I wouldn't would go down this train of thought, but you're a little more, you know, prickish, I guess.
Oh, okay. So you need somebody to beat your dick?
I was going to just bring up the point, like, we got this far with the help of no police, you know, back in New York, like...
Or investigators by trade.
We can be of an assistance, like...
Actually, that's the name of what we are in this game.
You know, we could get more accomplished with more help, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Besides yourself, do you have any help with what you're doing? Yes. Are you investigating this entirely?
I'm in charge of the investigation. Yes.
Okay. What have your...
I've been for the last year.
How much help have your other investigators been? This is kind of what we do. You could use us to help solve your cases.
Sybil is not a fan of what they're offering.
Please describe...
You see disgust on her face. Like, what the hell, guys?
Inspector Barrington's reaction to that statement, I think, is probably important.
Owen, you're Scottish. You speak with a Scottish accent.
No.
I don't know. Based on the way he's been playing Owen Young, I don't know if he would speak with a Scottish lilt or not. I don't think he does.
He's like an amalgamation of everything thrown into one, and it's just like...
He may be a Scottish resident, but I don't know that American. He speaks with a brogue.
No, I largely would say I would have grown up in America. Or at least I would have lost most of the accent, so there may be a hint of it.
Okay.
But
maybe as you get frustrated.
Yeah.
Like maybe some vocabulary. Off, like, that tends to be a giveaway.
So you've been living in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where'd you... Chicago, right? Is that where you teach?
Make me a roll, Jeff.
23.
That's a pretty good roll.
That's probably a good one.
I would say you do detect that he's not... He speaks an awful lot like an American, like the other two, but there is a slight... There's something very British about his mannerisms. Not a lot, but you do detect that he at least has a bit of either... I don't know if I'm going to term it as respect in terms or mannerisms. There is something a little different between the other two. The other two read wholly American to you.
Right. And that's kind of what I'm going for, because I know that your character was military. He was a rough rider. He's kind of a rougher type.
Mm-hmm. Gruff, what? Brass, crass, straight to the point.
Well, I mean, he's not dressed finely or like a gentleman or anything like that. He's... Barrington would totally look you top to bottom and back up at you and be like, no.
Because I'm not prim and proper.
Yeah. Make a psychology.
I'll take that.
Nope. My psychology is like 14.
Yeah.
That's improved from base, so.
Absolutely. Those are Jeff's doing perfectly well.
No, I I don't think you're going to be working with me on this investigation. But I do appreciate the information. How can I be of assistance outside info dumping for you?
Sybil would want to suggest something along the lines of, hey, if we get ourselves in a little bit of trouble, can you just, like, send us a letter and let us know? Because we tend to end up in places where the police get involved.
Yeah, you should definitely say that.
I'm just like...
And you fucking tell me to watch what I say.
No, that's why I'm saying it out of character first. Like, we don't need anything. We're not looking for monetary. We just are trying to be helpful.
As cautiously as you say that, he will just as cautiously say, if the police need to be involved, I will be involved.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that kind of figured. I didn't actually say anything. I was trying not to say
prim
that.
Prim and gentlemanly and polite, yeah, and everything like that. But yeah, if I need to get in your ass, I'm going to get in your ass.
Yep.
Anal docs.
Do you happen to know anything about the animal attacks up in Derbyshire?
Not a clue.
Cool.
This also probably is not connected, but just because these seem to be strings that Jackson was tugging at. But do you know anything about the artist Miles Shipley,
the surrealist out of the Isles?
I don't remember anything about Shipley.
Okay,
at least not in the notes.
I mean, that would have been more of a cultural part of the paper than anything police oriented.
If you guys want more information out of them, you can make social rolls or present hard evidence.
I'm trying to think what evidence I have. We could invite him to go with us to the lockbox. Hey, want to show you these artifacts?
I don't know.
You want to put on the gloves? They're really warm.
Why don't you try on that mask?
What's awesome, which is totally what I intended and has worked out well, is that Jeff legitimately has no clue what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, at your convenience, Inspector, I do think we have some items that you might be interested in observing. However, they're currently at the Bank of London in a secure location. We'd need to arrange a meetup. Artifacts of the Cult of the Bloody Tongue, if you're interested. Yeah, Trudish is over there shaking his head because he can't believe Sybil's trying to
make a charm.
This is bad.
That's definitely a charm.
Ought four.
Yeah. He'll make the appointment.
That's an extreme.
He will make the appointment.
Jeff, does Barrington seem to think this is something he should do this afternoon, or is he scheduling it for later?
That's an extreme. He'd probably do it this afternoon.
Pick up that cudgel.
Barrington say these is, words. Barrington is available whenever you are. He's willing to see what you want to show.
Let's call it 3 o'clock.
If there's some kind of connection between these two, I'm more than willing to examine them. Yes.
Absolutely. I will also sketch out a pinga and hand it to him.
She sketches out
make an art roll.
I have drawing. Sure. I have 7 in drawing.
Yeah.
Sure, why not? I'll give you credit for it.
He has no fucking idea what you're talking about.
No, that's a 35.
Thank she you. Draws a rudimentary curved
I'm vindicated
blade.
For the night.
Okay.
I'm good. I'm over it.
You're over my rolls?
No. You didn't hear what I said.
We're good. No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Moving onward then? Are you anything else for Inspector Barrington?
I can make an appointment for like 3 o'clock. We have a 1:30.
Sure.
Who's going with me to the bank with the inspector?
Who's making sure you don't make it to the bank to meet the inspector?
Okay. I'm assuming then the meeting is concluded with Barrington. Barrington doesn't seem to have any other questions for you.
Are you concerned because we put firearms also in the lockbox?
No. Concerned that we're going to lose them altogether.
Cool.
I'm gonna write. I'm gonna telegram Erica and say that she needs to be removed from the group.
I didn't expect that as an outcome, but you definitely could. In that case, I'll say you spent a couple of hours there. You have time to grab lunch and then go to the Penyu Foundation. Is that what you'd like to do?
If you all want to go get the artifacts out of the lockbox so they're not there when I get there.
He's a police officer. He's going to ask the bank if they were removed at any point in this time of the day and who took them.
No, but we also do have customs on our side.
How much time does Barrington have between now and this meeting?
10 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, like that. I'd say several hours. Cool.
Yeah, you've got time to do whatever.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something specific, please let me know.
What was the question you asked, Cody?
I was asking, basically, you have enough time to grab a quick bite to eat and then make your Penhu Foundation meeting, if that's your goal. I would say it's probably a little later than 10. You met him roughly at 9 or half past 9, so you've been there for an hour and a half, maybe. Time for lunch, and then in time to make your 1:30 appointment.
Are we going to hope that Lucas's new character has the skill Persuade? Because none of us do.
We're going to need it.
I built my character for one thing, and one thing only. Sorry, two things. Charm, first aid, and medicine.
All right, are you going to the Penhu Foundation?
Yes, we're going to the Penhu Foundation.
Okay. Just making sure nobody's doing anything else. I know you're doing something. I don't know what it is yet, but I look forward to your message. I just want to make sure if I can go on to the meeting with Edward Gavigan that I can.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
While they all sit and stew over my character traces.
You step up the stairs into the Penhu Foundation. It is an opulent building. Very gorgeous on the inside. You step up to a small reception desk and a long hallway leading to a number of rooms. And then you see that there are stairs leading upward. The receptionist, a lovely young woman, says, yes, how may I direct you? If you'd like to see the exhibit, it is open. Please go up the stairs.
We have a meeting with Mr. Gavigan.
Oh, of course. First door on your right. Is that right? Yeah, that's right.
I do love that you have a full layout there.
Mm-hmm. She directs you down the hall to the first door on the right.
He's dead in the room with a new symbol carved in his head.
I mean, at least we'd have
assuming
plot.
Assuming you don't deviate.
No, yeah, we'll go right there.
You see a stern looking man sitting behind a desk. You clearly go into a waiting room. He appears to be typing quite furiously. The name on the desk says,
I guess it's a voice we recognize.
Well, he hasn't said anything yet.
Well, when he does.
The name says T. Kinnery. The little plaque. He has a small frame, wearing a pinstripe suit, pointed nose, and very angular features.
Let me guess, Thomas.
Hello, may I help you?
Mr. Kennery, we're here to meet with Mr. Gavigan.
Yes, are you...
The 1:30.
Mr. Young and party.
Yes.
Yes, please give me a moment. If you'd take a seat. He walks into the other room. A few moments, he opens the door and indicates you should step in. Mr. Gavigan will meet you now. He leads you into a very nice office. You see an individual who is behind a desk, who is slim and superbly dressed, balding hair, manicured nails, clean shaven. His picture actually reminds me of the latter years of, God, what is the actor's name? His picture reminds me a little bit of the actor who played Tarkin.
Played who? Grand Moff Tarkin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like very drawn. Peter Cushing, correct. Very drawn features, kind of a receding hairline. He smiles and indicates a few chairs across from the desk. The office itself, I think I have a slight description of the office somewhere. The desk itself is clear of clutter and paperwork. There's a row of closets along the north wall. The rest are beautifully wood-paneled walls. There are a few large oil paintings, one of the Egyptian pyramids, the other of a view of the Nile. Can I get spot hidden rolls from everybody?
Pass.
Pass.
Make sure you take your skill.
Pass by half. Sure. It's a 20 out of 52.
No, you need to make a spot hidden roll. See if you can take a skill.
Fail.
Pass by half.
Three.
Okay.
What'd you get?
Just regular pass.
Pass, hard pass, fail.
The fail doesn't notice, the others do. So, like I said, it's a pretty good-sized office. Like I said, it's very showy. It's not got a lot of stuff. You notice that there is...
Tell me there's a secret door behind one of those cabinets.
You actually see a floor safe connected off to the side. It is slightly ajar. Who had the hard pass?
I did.
It looks like there's definitely banknotes in there, and maybe some other items. He stands as you enter. Good afternoon. Edward Gavigan. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. And he extends a hand to each of you.
Pleasure's all ours.
Yes, Ms.
Mrs. Ripley Robertson.
Mrs. Ripley Robertson. Welcome to England.
Thank you. And these are my associates, Mr. Owen Young.
Mr.
And
Young.
Mr. Eustace Weatherton.
Mr. Weatherton, please, if you'll have a seat.
Don't mind if I do.
What can I do for you today?
We were sitting here on behalf, I guess I could say, of Miss Erica Carlisle.
Yes.
We are just helping to retrace the steps of her brother's expedition, trying to uncover... some of the truths behind it, as she believes that, you know, he may not necessarily have been killed.
Really?
And provide her with proper closure.
The Carlisle expedition, you say?
Yes.
We do understand that Sir Pinhew was instrumental in that expedition.
Yes, God rest his soul. Aubrey was a part of the expedition. Roger Carlisle promised a very... intensive dig with some information from locals about some heretofore not discovered archaeological digs. That was the premise of why they went to Egypt, of course. Turns out that the woman was unfortunately a charlatan and that Carlisle was taken for what he had. Most unfortunate, but...
You mentioned the woman. You're not talking about Ms. Masters.
No. The African woman that journeyed with him.
Benet.
Yes, I do believe that was her name.
A charlatan, you say?
Yes, in fact, it seems that she was a...
How salacious. Please continue.
I believe the quote from him is that, from Carlisle was that, "We are gentlemen of the world, are we not?" He wasn't worried quite so much about the petty cash that the woman stole and ran off with, but... he was quite distraught over the loss of this woman, this lover, might we say.
When exactly in the expedition did she run off?
Quite early. I believe somewhere when they were in Egypt. She had promised some ancient dig in terms of a sorcerer that apparently ruled some aspect of the Nile Valley. But it wasn't long after they arrived in Egypt that she... acquired the petty cash that the group had and ran off with it.
Do you know the name of that sorcerer?
No, I do not. She was not very forthcoming with the details.
Does the name Ibon? Ibon?
Ibon. Not familiar to me, I must say. It doesn't sound inherently Egyptian. And I'm sorry, I can't help you with Ibon.
All right, Jazz is confused. Where did you pull that from?
That's the name of the wizard in the book, the French book.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
I'm trying not to meta. I'm trying to actually play the character.
I just didn't remember that because I wrote Leon instead of Ibon. Ibon. Which I am now remembering now that you said it.
Yes, it is quite a tragedy. Most unfortunate. Not only to the dig and the... study of Egypt, but also, of course, that they unfortunately lost their lives when they journeyed into deeper into the continent.
So with Sir Pinhu gone, who's like the head of the foundation now?
The honor resides with me. I am the one in charge. The estate obviously has a controlling interest, of course, but these are details I'd rather not discuss. They are, of course, sensitive to the Pinhu family and the foundation.
If you don't mind,
might I inquire, what brings you... You mentioned something about some fear of the family in terms of the unfortunate passing of the expedition, or what does bring you here? My apologies for overstepping my bounds.
Closure for Ms. Carlyle and the family.
My understanding was that they discovered that Sir Aubrey and everyone else had been unfortunately murdered by some...
That is the prevailing theory.
And you have another.
Which, you'll understand, I'm not at liberty to discuss.
Very well.
There was a man who had retraced their steps. His name was...
Was it Elliot?
Mr. Something? Elias.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
Who provided her with some information.
Fast talk, please, from someone. I don't care who.
It's all base 5, so...
Why is it fast talk?
Because you're obviously lying about a man that you know very well. And saw murdered.
Nope.
I have to roll.
How you
well.
Doing over there? You warming up your dice?
Nope.
Definitely not.
Yes, Mr. Elias, I spoke with the man, I believe, about 2 months hence, give or take.
Yeah, he provided some information that, at least,
Jack.
Yeah.
Brady.
Jack Brady. That he saw him alive, somewhere in Hong Kong.
Why are we telling this man all of this information?
I don't know. Why are we showing the one guy artifacts?
Because no one stopped me, and I'm trying to stop him now.
I do not believe that, while I understand the fear of Miss Carlyle and the personal tragedy that she suffered, I do not believe that it is likely that anyone survived that horrible, horrible massacre. I understand her need for closure, but I find it incredibly unlikely. Mr. Elias, I'm sorry if he is your friend, but it is my understanding in the greater academic community that many of his works are considered quite salubrious and sensational. I won't go and so far as to insult the academic himself, but it is, in my opinion, incredibly likely that details are often stretched to fit certain narratives.
And we understand that, but we would also understand if we do not want to sully the name of those that have passed.
Of course. Well, Mr. Elias has passed, then, you say?
Yes. Quite recently.
How unfortunate.
What information
My condolences.
What information do you have to affirm that the party was actually massacred?
The local constabulary. I know that the British Embassy was involved, I believe. I know there was a thorough investigation, both by the local government, the provisional government, and even, I believe, Carlyle herself.
Do you know why they went to Kenya? Seems strange. No one's been able to quite answer that question, not even Erica.
I believe that Miss Masters suggested it. A bit of a wildlife photography shoot and
so
journey
the safari,
into Kenya.
Then?
A bit of a safari, yes. Going on a bit of a holiday. After they had lost the money and had really no reason to dig in Africa anymore, it seemed they thought that they would use the fact that they were already in the continent to explore a bit more of what Africa had to offer. It was simply poor circumstance that they ended up journeying into a place where something like what occurred to them actually happened. It was thought to improve the health and the mood of Roger, who was quite distraught over the traitorous actions of the African woman.
Clearly.
Benet, you said her name was, I believe?
That's what I have in my notes, yes.
All right, I've got something in my head about, like, asking about the estate, or was anything of Aubrey's recovered? any of his notes, any artifacts that he was able to send back.
Yeah, I was thinking the same.
You have quite a collection here.
Of course, yes.
And we've seen the pieces that you've loaned to the British Museum.
If you are you interested in Egyptology, Matt?
A budding interest, you might say, as part of this. However, I have a very...
I encourage you to look upstairs. We have, while we do loan things to the British Museum and elsewhere across the world, the most beautiful pieces are actually kept upstairs.
Oh, I completely understand. My question for you is, were any of these sent back by Sir Penhew on this expedition? Did he send anything back prior to...
The dig was largely unsuccessful, obviously because of the Certainly. Actions of Ms. Bonnet. But the Sir Penhew had made a number of expeditions before, so he is responsible for some of the artifacts kept upstairs, as well as those sent to the British Museum and so on and so forth.
So nothing was recovered of this expedition. It was foolhardy.
I would not say foolhardy. There was some excavating done, of course, but nothing of substance, shall we say, in terms of forwarding the field and studies of Egyptology. I am afraid most of his notes were likely lost with himself.
A pity.
I must agree.
And you? When was last time that you were in Cairo? Or do you mostly stay here and direct?
Yes, the Penhew Foundation prides itself on providing, that's not the word that I want to say. I don't want to say scholarships.
Grants,
that's the word I want to say. Grants and, assistance to those traveling to Egypt. Lessons on culture, on archaeology, on the most current fields of Egyptology. It is quite a budding field of science and archaeology and history, and it is most important that anyone traveling to the continent really understand the socio-political implications, the historical implications, in order to make sure that anything that they retrieve is in fact handled with proper care.
Would you be free to instructing us as such? As we said, we're tracing the expedition ourselves, so likely that we will be heading to Cairo at some point. So it would be, you know, some great help to know anything that's happening in the current state.
If there's anything I can do to assist, Mr. Elias followed this tact as well, and I'd be more than happy to inform you on anything that may be of use, but I do feel that, if I may state a personal claim, I feel that you are on a fool's errand, as it were. I'm more than happy to assist in any way possible, but I do not think that your searching will bear much fruit. But I wish you the best of luck, and if there's anything the Penhew Foundation can do to assist, please don't hesitate to contact me.
Do you know any of the art collectors, importers, any contacts of the sort in Cairo that we might be able to say hello to while we...
I'd have to check my notes. I'm sure there are a few, but most of the time the Penhew Foundation deals directly with those we have ascribed grants to.
Yeah. Okay.
We don't have a name here. We have a name in Kenya.
I know.
Yeah. No, I was thinking, but...
Jazz is so uncomfortable with the amount of colonization that's happening, and just like, I'm going to go dig something up and take it to a different continent entirely because I want to. It's making me really uncomfortable.
Colonialism.
It's so gross. I don't like it.
And the othering of other cultures. Welcome to history.
I didn't say it wasn't historical. I said it makes me uncomfortable.
Also fair.
I would probably be like, you did say we were welcome to peruse the artifacts upstairs.
Of course. Upstairs is open from noon to four. In fact, if you'd like to head up there now, I'd be more than happy to give you a quick tour of what we have.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
He escorts you upstairs.
We do have another appointment we need to leave for about maybe 2:30.
Of course.
Give us enough time to get to
the windows of the exhibit.
Everywhere.
The windows of the exhibit hall are broad and tall, with openings at the top via mechanical arms. Most of the surfaces here are finished in marble, and the ceiling is 20 feet high. Mummies, glass cases filled with pottery and other artifacts, statuary, and so forth fill the hall in tasteful rows. An air of hushed contemplation pervades.
This is the only time I've ever heard Cody describe something having a 20-foot ceiling, and I wasn't afraid of something dropping out and killing me. or that sounds mummies.
Sounds like a personal problem. And I'm not sure if it's because you're not expecting it or because you're...
Well, because I've never actually played D&D with Cody.
What you do notice is that there are a series of rooms along the sides, and you see one or two rooms occupied. It looks like most of the things are under glass or protective casing. There are a few individuals studying things in a room with, like, gloves on and so forth. So it seems like those who have academic credentials can study some of their artifacts in person, touching them, examining them, and so on and so forth. Gavigan will lead you through various eras, talk about a few pharaohs. I do understand that you have another meeting, so I'll make my presentation brief, but he does kind of go over the major highlights.
Anything with a black pharaoh?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Or in gold with geometric shapes.
Or resembling any of the masks or opposable fingers, the claws,
so
or
you're
the
asking
scepter.
So you're asking those out loud?
Nope, just looking.
Oh, this is just looking.
If you're going to talk about Black Pharaoh, I'm just going to look.
I wasn't going to talk. This is me looking for things.
Make spot hidden rolls?
Yeah, so anything connected to any of the culty things that we've...
I'm a hell of a
culty,
lot better
culty, culty McCulterson.
Hell of a lot better at looking.
Pass.
Pass.
I can't make a fucking roll.
You can have my ought one and ought six.
Nothing that you find in particular.
I then ask, have you heard anything about these... Pardon my language. Black pharaohs.
The Black Pharaoh.
Yes. It's a term that I've heard, and I'm just not sure what it means. I mean, obviously, the color of skin being darker, but... I don't think that's what this refers to.
No, I believe that you have been taken in, madame.
Oh, I've just only heard the term. I was just asking as a learned man.
The Black Pharaoh is a... Again, my apologies if you're not familiar with English culture. I'm going to probably say this wrong. I believe it's Black Anise?
Anise?
Is it Anise? No, not an... A-N-I-S. Oh. If you Google it, it will come up. It's essentially like...
anus.
Black anus. Google that.
Theme of the night.
A lot
I'm
of butt
so
stuff
uncomfortable.
This evening. No.
Quit hiding your eyes. You're the one who started it.
The anal docs was definitely you.
He's not wrong.
Gavigan goes on to explain. I believe it makes a reference in the book. I'm not going to take the time to look it up. But Gavigan relates the Black Pharaoh to, I believe it's Black Anise, as I recall, A-N-I-S or A-N-N-I-S. It's essentially a British boogeyman. It's like a creepy milkmaid or a creepy, like, wet nurse or something. If you Google it, you'll find it. But essentially, the Black Pharaoh is a tall tale to scare children. It's not anything that has any historical or archaeological bearing whatsoever.
Well, then where does the pharaoh come from? Because that's certainly not from the Isles.
No, 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 no. It is an Egyptian boogeyman. It's not a British boogeyman. I was trying to
relate.
To correlate.
I see,
correct.
I see.
Do you have any... I mean, what are some of these myths? What are some of these boogeyman stories?
That the boogeyman is everywhere, that it will get you if you misbehave, that it has all pervasive powers and is all seeing and all knowing. The same thing you would use to scare children.
Yeah, it is Black Anise. A-N-N-I-S. A hag with a blue face and iron claws who lived in the Dane Hills of Leicestershire.
Agreed. It is a silly thing. Let us put it that way. It is nothing more than an Egyptian fairy tale gone wrong.
Is that what you attribute the case that Mr. Barrington spoke to you about?
Mr. Barrington?
Inspector
Barrington.
I'm sorry,
Barrington. Detective Inspector Barrington.
Oh, Inspector Barrington. You see him contemplate it for a moment. Yes, there is. Shortly after Jackson Elias met with me, I believe there was an inspector asking about the Black Pharaoh. Yes, you're bringing it all back now. I understand you're good friends with Jackson Elias, and I mean to speak no ill of the dead, but the man wrote a lot on cultural fears. There is no evidence, archaeologically or historically, of any sort of Black Pharaoh, worship of a Black Pharaoh, anything of that nature.
So you've not heard of the Brotherhood of the Black Pharaoh?
No.
Psychology?
Sure.
No.
I'm telling you, ma'am, that this is all... Again, I don't wish to speak ill of the dead, but I wonder if this is a tad bit of sensationalism because it makes a good story. Don't get me wrong, I love a good story as much as the next bloke, but it is quite impossible that any sort of group actually exists that celebrates this fictional individual.
Whether or not there is such group, was there any type of iconography or anything that would actually associate these murders with being Egyptian related?
Nothing that I have recovered thus far. Nothing that anyone has recovered thus far. Not just the Penhew Foundation, but any Egyptology exploration. If you talk to anyone in terms of Egypt study or archaeological study, this is nothing more than a myth. This is signs of Odin, of the cross at Golgotha that Christ was hung upon. There is nothing factual to tie it to anything, unfortunately.
No, but there are, as you bring those specific to mind, there are vast religions based upon those specific myths, if you will. So.
Oh, understood. My apologies. I perhaps should have, again, referred it to more of a, I'm not familiar with any American boogeymen, but it is, and he continues to provide suggestions that you don't necessarily know, but he's clearly stating that this is clearly rhetorical and completely fantastical.
Are there any other names or any other, I don't know, acts or something associated with this Black Pharaoh that you may have heard?
Anything under the sun involving scaring children and stealing your soul and appearing in the dark and hiding under your bed. All such manner of foolish things.
Wikipedia is my best friend. Because not only did I get a full history of Black Annis, which is also Black Agnes, and related to Baba Yaga, but also apparently Boogeyman and Bugbear come from the same root, mm-hmm. and it's all pretty much the same thing. So Baba Yaga is now related to Bugbears.
For sure.
Welcome to D&D.
So, I mean, like, that's the thing. In his mind, it is purely ridiculously childish and has nothing. There is no written history of a Black Pharaoh. There is no documentation. There is no historical record. There's nothing.
At King Solomon's Mines, then.
I'm sorry?
Oh, there was an indication that perhaps King Solomon's Mines might be in Kenya. It may have been an interest of the Carlisle expedition.
I must say I'm neither an expert on King Solomon nor Kenya in and of itself. I'm strictly an Egyptologist. My apologies.
So there's no rumors of King Solomon's Mines being in Egypt?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, that again, perhaps talking to someone of ecclesiastical education may be able to provide more information.
Certainly, certainly. Well, we're just right around the corner from St. Paul's, so of course. That makes sense.
They may be able to help you there.
Do you happen to have any artifacts that happen to deal with, you know, any cults or anything, you know, in Cairo or Egypt area?
You know, when we were in Peru, there were these fascinating masks that were on the outside of this place, and when the wind whipped past, do you have any masks here? Singing masks, or the sort that are ceremonial that they'd wear? Not mummies.
He does take you over to a section of some masks, but again, it is similar to Pharaoh's masks that you've seen before.
Okay.
They bear no physical relation to the masks you saw in Peru. I'm sorry, I'm not familiar what you are. Speaking of,
something comes across your desk, be sure to let us know.
Of course. No, the Penhew Foundation is here to assist anyone interested in Egyptology. You are more than welcome to contact me as you see fit. Now, I do apologize. If there are no further questions, I do have another meeting, and I believe that you have some arrangements, you said. You've been up here talking to him for an hour or better as he shows you different things. So you're getting awful close to that 3 o'clock meeting.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll take our leave.
I will let you decide what happens next.
We meet at the bank.
you go to Royal Bank of London, whatever location you said there. I assume Inspector Barrington shows up at 3 p.m.?
Yes. Waiting for you in the lobby.
Go right ahead, Jasmine.
Who's going with?
Inspector, pleasure to see you again.
You too, ma'am.
This way.
Is it just you and me going down?
No, we're all going.
They take you into a room. There is a large lockbox that they unlock, that they pull out, that they put into a small room that you're all allowed to access.
I open it up.
Inspector Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
You see a number of things inside. If somebody else wants to describe them, they can, or I can go looking for them.
Is it just the three?
As far as I know, you told them you took everything.
So we took...
Well, just those three items and then the books that we mm-hmm. keep on our person, correct?
Right.
We also have the bloody tongue paraphernalia.
No, like the actual headpiece and the robes.
Oh, okay.
I think we took all of that as well.
Yeah.
You see a number of things. You see some robes. Inspector Barrington, you see some sort of headdress with, like, a piece of red leather tied to it, I believe. You see a carved scepter that appears to be out of wood and has some runes inscribed in it. You see a pair of what look like lion's claws or something, but they appear to be hollowed out as if they are
paws.
Gloves.
I mean, they're like paws, not just the claws.
Right.
They're like
taxidermy paws.
Yeah, no. But you can put your hands inside
they're
and you
open.
Can...
They look like gloves. And you see a bizarre
headpiece?
Maybe headpiece? It looks very odd.
Carved.
It's space wood.
It's this weird...
We haven't got to those sand checks yet.
...wooden bit that, like... So it looks like it sits upon the head, roughly in size. And it has this weird elongated bit, and there are these four horrific carved images sort of pointing at 90-degree angles from each other. But there's also a bit of cloth that appears to, like, it might hang over the face. It's a very bizarre-looking thing. It's probably every bit of 2.5-3 feet long. It's huge.
So when you put it on, you grow taller because you've got this thing that sticks up above the head. That's how it's described.
Okay.
So, over the face.
Long, yeah.
Tall. You got any input over there, Owen?
I wouldn't recommend touching them, of course. We've had an incident or two.
Yeah? Do any of these ring a bell?
You asked for hard evidence.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
I did at that.
Which ones? You've had incidents as well.
None of these stick out in reference to anything that I've seen.
But
there are reports out of NYPD that I've been researching since you guys left that these disappeared out of evidence.
Well, I'll have you know that these were provided to someone. I have no knowledge of these disappearing from evidence of any sort.
Not trash talk.
We're going to need some rolls here. Jasmine's talking, so I'll take Jasmine's.
These were given to us by a police officer.
We will take that. Jasmine's fast talk versus toss me a die roll there, Jeff.
Hell no.
Doesn't
matter.
69.
87.
Ooh. Oh, both fails.
I will call that a push.
I'm not going to make fast talk.
What was the police officer's name?
Poole. The one that we liked, Poole. Yeah. Lieutenant Poole.
These were provided to us by Lieutenant Poole.
But, of the NYPD.
But if we want... I don't know. We won't pass that rule.
So what are you telling
me? I'm telling you that these items came into our possession, and we believe them to be connected to several murders.
And you think the same folks who committed murders in New York committing them here?
Maybe not the same, but certainly similar intent.
Again, the connection, the only connection that I really saw was the fact that these murders were happening on a regular basis, just like we were experiencing murders on a regular basis.
And they were unsolved.
In New York, and there just seemed to be some slight connection there. So beyond that, you know, again, we don't have much information on the victims here. So I don't know if you're seeing anything connecting as far as that's concerned, but the robe here and this headpiece is what the murderers were wearing that killed Jackson, Elias. I saw firsthand.
That is 100% factual statement.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. You're the only one that saw it.
Give it one more social roll. Something. Here's the thing.
Yeah, we've presented stolen evidence to someone.
You've presented stolen evidence that doesn't have anything to do with what he's trying to figure out.
Right.
You're not presenting hard evidence that he can use.
Right.
You have to try and persuade him to, at this point, not arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he has no grounds to arrest us.
Yeah.
He has no jurisdiction.
He does. You're in possession of stolen property. Suspected stolen property. That he's been in contact with NYPD.
Jeff's been rolling hot, folks.
I kind of figured.
Jeff rolled like a 22 or something like that? 26?
We are showing these to you in good faith to show that we know what we are talking about.
But Barrington is a by-the-book mm-hmm. cop.
Right.
And he will, within a heartbeat, haul you guys in.
That is a hard pass on charm to say, I'm showing this to you out of good faith to know that we're talking what we are talking about mm-hmm. with an indication that these will make it back where they're supposed to. For the time being, these are in our possession because we still believe the murder of Jackson Elias is not properly solved. When I return to New York, and I will return to New York, these items will go with me.
Mm-hmm. Somebody had to get these out. Somebody with enough reach to get them out. I haven't heard back from Carlisle yet.
You may not.
I may not. But
speak with her attorney, yeah. Mr. Gray. You can speak with Lieutenant Poole. Again, he's the one who provided us with these artifacts.
With Lieutenant Poole, and he will jot that down.
Throw him under the fucking bus.
He's only trying to get a guy off death
Speaking
row for
of
us.
Which, we're on...
I don't give a shit about that guy.
I know.
Speaking of I which, we're don't. On day three, so we need to telegram back to the car lot.
Yeah, we do.
Can't wait for this update.
Check out the Blue Pyramid Club.
Blue Pyramid Club, you say? And where might that be?
In Soho.
Was this a place that you've gotten into and need more information about,
You guys haven't researched any of these crimes beyond that article. You don't know anything about why they're called the Egyptian murders.
Other than they were foreigners from Egypt being murdered.
We haven't had the time.
That is exactly what it is. And this is a club frequented by Egyptian nationals. Frequented by both resident and visiting Egyptian businessmen.
Is there somebody specific and we should speak to or be directed towards?
Well, we had the club under surveillance for a while, but we didn't learn anything before the
you just didn't learn
before anything. The men were pulled off the
your men were pulled for yeah. resources.
Yeah, they gave it a shot.
Yeah,
nothing came up.
Did Mr. Gavigan give you any information whatsoever when you spoke with him?
There was one connection. Zara Shafiq.
Zara?
Yep. She worked with the Pinhu Foundation.
Nothing.
Schroeder called somebody a lying cocksucker. I don't know if it's you or me.
Oh, no.
Gavigan.
He was contemplating murdering Gavigan before he decided Sybil might be a better option.
No, Gavigan was the name that I just threw out to try and act like I wasn't going to stuff you or the inspector yeah. in the lockbox.
Yeah, I know. We shall stop by and
something
see what
about,
we can learn.
Something about her gave Barrington the impression there was much more she was not saying. He had her tailed for a few days, which confirmed she frequently went to the Blue Pyramid Club, but little else.
Okay. Verbal description, maybe, of what she looks like. Something for us to go on.
Good question. Egyptian woman. I don't have it.
I know you don't. Keeper, could I have a better description so I'll know her on sight? It doesn't have to be out of character. Like, as long as Sybil has an idea.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Actually, that article gave away more information about the
But we don't know if it's true. That's the problem.
Than I expected it to.
It really does.
Yeah.
They're not paying attention. He describes Zara?
Zara?
Yeah, Zara. I'd say Zara. Zara Shafik.
It's Sarah with a Z.
No, Z-A-H-R-A.
Slender with long dark hair and stunning green eyes. An unbelievably beautiful woman. She is, as they might say, a looker.
Is her app above 70?
Take a look. Yes, she is stunning. She is much higher than a 70.
Fantastic. Gonna go 110?
That's above human capability, so.
I'm aware. You said stunning.
She's not above a 110, no. It's 107.
Yes! <No. laughs>
Her app is quite high.
Good.
She is a gorgeous woman.
Who isn't telling the police everything. No shit. Is she, from the time that they were tailing her, do we have a place of residence, an address perhaps, any way to get in contact with her? If you were having her tailed, any place she went back to?
I would check the club.
Wonderful. Anything else I need to know about the club? Perhaps whether or not I would be allowed in through the front door.
Jumps at you.
It doesn't specify anything about it being segregated or anything.
No. Okay. It's
an Egyptian businessman, so I wasn't sure if this is a men's club a la Boyston.
Or Barrington looked into it so he could let you know it is Egyptian cuisine, it's Egyptian music, there's some belly dancing, like it's a private club that is often frequented by Egyptian nationals, Egyptian expatriates, yeah. And various bohemian types in Soho. It just kind of is like, if you're in Soho and you want Egyptian culture, where do you go? And it's this place.
Okay.
So it just makes sense that he would look into it, but as far as Barrington could tell, it's on the up and up. They were never able to prove anything in terms of the murders. So far, everything is circumstantial at best, and even that's a stretch.
So one last question about the murders. They were all described as being beaten and stabbed. Was there anything?
He's not giving you that.
Okay.
Does he just stone face it? Like,
he's not giving you exact details of the murders.
Right. No, I get that, but
I don't need exact
details.
I have a question.
Oh. I thought you were asking me.
Well, I mean, I am.
Okay.
Do the stab wounds happen to be peculiar? Not of a normal...
What's it say in there?
Just says beaten and stabbed.
And they were beaten and stabbed.
Stabbed in the heart is what it says, yeah. Right?
He wouldn't give that specific information. That's information that he would use to pin somebody who would know it or use it against somebody or something mm-hmm. as a suspect.
Mm-hmm. You're telling
he would not let that information out.
You're telling a very fine line with Barrington for sure.
I would say you don't have to tell us what the exact way anything is, but is every single victim identical in Death Blow?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm trying to draw a connection with the possible stabbings from the murders in New York to these. Again, I don't
mean okay, specific. Look, right now you guys are
yeah.
You guys are my expendables.
Right. We're doing your shit work and we
Yes. I'm not going to give you a ton of information. I'm going to see what information you guys can fish out.
when you follow up with Lieutenant Poole, which I'm sure you'll do because you're quite excellent at your job, I might suggest you ask him about the rash of stabbings in Harlem.
Oh, I will.
And Robeson, who I'm sure you've also spoken to.
More from him, yeah.
Yeah. You should ask him about the conversation he and I had. And
how... He said that I should ask you about what happened in the Juju house.
What? I wasn't at anything of that sort. Might have stopped there once.
He's looking at Eustace.
Re-listen to last week's episode. Or this week's episode.
Yep.
Robeson doesn't know. He wasn't there.
Nope.
Maybe why don't you try giving Cecil a call?
He tried. He tried to get through the Carlton estate, remember? Carlisle?
Yeah.
Hasn't heard back yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that the reason we're asking the questions we are is because we're trying to see if there's a connection. If you won't give us the information, and I completely understand why, then you might want to ask the same questions we're asking to the people you've already talked to in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they'll tell you more than they told us.
So far, I've asked more questions about you guys than I have the investigation over there.
Certainly. And I'm sure you got mixed reviews.
Yep.
Makes a lot of sense trying to solve a murder and all that we're telling you make you connected. Killers quite often offer up the information to the police.
Yeah. That happens.
I love when Troy gets defensive. It's my second favorite part next to pissing Matt off.
I thought I was up there.
You're up there, but you're definitely not in the top three.
That's fine. I can accept that.
You're maybe number four. You might fall a little farther, because I really like fucking with Schroeder and Daniel, too.
Yeah. It's fine. I'm fine being number five or below. It's fine.
You, and at this case, there's sort of a tense standoff in this lockbox as there's a conflicting ideology between whether or not Barrington feels like he should run you in or give you free rein.
And I think at that point, Eustace would just walk over and close the lockbox and start to put it back.
At this point, you're on okay footing, you feel like. You've talked to Gavigan. You have leads in Lesser Edale and in Chelsea. You have leads to the Blue Pyramid. You have inroads with the Penhew Foundation and University of London. And I'll say you've had a fairly successful first weekend in London.
Want to telegraph Carlos.
Yep. Anything you'd like to say in particular? We fucked up. Stop. Please send help. Stop.
Who fucked up if anybody?
Oh, God. We're getting arrested. Stop. Send Mr. Gray for lawyerly advice. Stop. Something like that?
No.
I would want, before we go do that, I would request that the bank move which lockbox it's actually in.
Oh, no. I was going to have arrangements made to have it already put through customs to have shipped with everything else to...
With
somewhere else?
With our final destination.
Wherever our other things are that were being...
Booked through?
Forwarded on.
Get them out so of far, everything, British jurisdiction.
Everything forwarded on has been a lie. You've not actually forwarded anything on, so...
You had a final port of call for France and never did it.
No, I had a final port of call for in Europe. We said we thought it would be France.
Right. But you still have the items.
No.
You didn't actually forward them on. There's nowhere to forward them to.
You can't enter the country with guns.
No, aren't they held? They're
correct.
Held?
No, so I actually you have them.
Yeah. Oh, this is not like a modern airport. This is, oh
you
yeah.
You do?
In our hotel room.
That's what you said.
Said you do?
No, I was under the impression we're not allowed to have them. So
you have them.
How do we have them?
Because
the
said.
Thought is that you're like, oh, I'm coming into Southampton, I'm going to London, and then I'm getting on the ferry across. So they are allowing you on your passport to carry these guns with the thought that you are leaving the country.
Nothing of ours has left our possession.
I didn't
possession.
Realize that was a gun.
Yes.
No. Yeah. They're not holding the guns. You have them.
I thought they would be held at Or no, moved on to the port.
That is way too modern for this.
You're telling them that you are checking them.
That was my understanding from the information that was given to.
I understand.
Modern or not, I don't know. Yeah. From 20s.
No, I mean, that's the thing, is that the thought is that you're saying, I'm stopping in London on my way to France. I am carrying a gun that is legal in France. Ergo, you should let me pass through customs because I'm taking it to France. That's why they've made it very specific. You can't use it in London. And the thought is, in a couple of days, I'm going to France, so that's why I'm taking it.
Got it.
Right. So you have the possession. They are
I
in
didn't
your,
do that, which is why they took my 32.
Correct.
So my 32 got taken.
As long as
taken.
I don't take it out and it doesn't
right.
get...
But it is in your bag right now with the thought that you are going somewhere where it is legal.
Gotcha.
Because you're just passing through London as a stopgap. So that's why you had to make additional arrangements, quote-unquote, to France.
Which
so at this point,
we
the fact
did.
That, right. So the fact that you never went to France, those guns are actually in the country illegally at this point.
Which means if he were to follow us to our hotel room and find them and find that out, we would be arrested.
Well, he would be arrested.
Whoever did it illegally would be arrested.
Fact.
And other people brought in for questioning to find out what else we're hiding other than stolen artifacts.
So it's Monday afternoon now, right?
Yes.
So we're backing out on Monday the...
9th.
9th.
February 9th.
On a terse situation with Barrington from New Scotland Yard. You have a number of leads, and I feel like unless anyone else has anything for the good of the order, we will call that the today's session, or this evening's session.
We send a telegram to the Carlisle Estate saying that we arrived, and that we have started our investigation, and they may be contacted for clarification on things that happened in New York.
Our title track, Ideathesia, provided by Sleep for the Weary off their EP, Catharsis. Find more of their music at sleepfortheweary.com. Introduction compiled from Nyarlathotep by H.P. Lovecraft. Like what you heard? Hear more episodes at rancorsbrothel.com. Join the conversation on Facebook with the Rancors Brothel and on Twitter at rancors_brothel. Send comments to the rancorsbrothel@gmail.com. Discover exclusive content at patreon.com/rancors_brothel by becoming a patron of our podcast. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, listeners. See you next time.